Let our praises remind all the darkness of how great and how mighty our God is. For the battle belongs to the Lord and no one else. We are standing in holy defiance. We're declaring aloud in the silence that the battle belongs to the Lord and no one else, no one else. We'll sing hallelujah for all hell to hear. Shout out Hosanna above every fear. Strongholds will crumble like castles of sand. We are marching on. We're marching on. Unstoppable kingdom advances as we take back the ground from the darkness. The battle belongs to the Lord and no one else. You're the banner we raise in the chaos. No, the gates of hell won't stand against us. The battle belongs to the Lord and no. The troubles, the trials, the shadows, the sorrows, the long nights, the hard fight. We are the prophets, the voice in the darkness, declaring the battle is yours. We'll sing hallelujah for all hell to hear. Shout out Hosanna above every fear. Strongholds will crumble like castles of sand.
As I reflect, I find perspective. There in the best and worst days of this life, you were always on my side. You're in the pain, you're in the promise, and on the days of furnace finds my faith. You're the fourth within the flame.
God isn't finished yet. If he did it before, he can do it again. So I'll trust him with what comes next. Cause my hindsight says I can count on this. My God isn't finished yet.
Hi, my name is Mr. Travis, and I get to tell you the Bible story today. I was thinking about starting with saying, the lesson today is brought to you by the letter J. I didn't, but I thought about it because, well, the book of the Bible we're in starts with the letter J. The main character we're going to hear about, his name starts with the letter J. The river we're going to hear about, J. And the city we're going to learn about also starts with the letter J. Coincidence. Interesting. But, well, before we get started, I wanted to open up with a word of prayer. So let's do that together now. Father God, thank you for this time that we dedicate to you. Please teach us, please speak to us, please show us how you are faithful, both in this story today, but also in our lives every day. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, today's story, we're going to hear about how God chose a new leader to bring the Hebrew people into the promised land. Now, what happened before this? If you want to find in your Bibles, first of all, where we're going to be today is in the book of Joshua. So in the Old Testament, books of the Bible start with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. So if you can find the sixth book of the Old Testament, we'll get started there. And while you're finding your place, let me set the stage for our story today. Let's recap what has happened up to this point. Well, hopefully you remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons, probably the most famous one. You remember Joseph, also a J name, yeah. Joseph spent some time down in Egypt. And because he trusted God, because he followed God, he knew that God was faithful, well, he saved up food during the bountiful season, and then he was able to use that food and give it to people during the 7 years of famine. Because of that, probably millions of lives were saved, including his own family, who came down to be with him in Egypt. Now, the family stayed in Egypt, and the family grew and grew over years and years, but eventually they became slaves to the Egyptians, slaves to Pharaoh. Now, do you think God wants his chosen people to be in slavery, in bondage? No, not at all. So he, God, called a man named Moses. Now, you've probably heard of Moses before. He used Moses with the plagues of Egypt and the Red Sea crossing to help the Hebrew people escape slavery out of Egypt. And then after the Red Sea crossing, they made it to a mountain called Mount Sinai, where God gave them the commandments. There are 613 commands. 10 of them are written on stone. That's why we call them the Ten Commandments, because they're the ones that were written on stone. Now, after the Sinai mountain, after the Ten Commandments, they made their way to the Promised Land. Now, why do we call it the Promised Land anyhow? Well, it's because God promised that it would be their new home. After slavery in Egypt, this will be a restart, fresh place to call home, and God was preparing it for them. So they make it to the edge of the Promised Land. And what do? They send in 12 spies to scout out the land, see if it's any good or not. The 12 spies look around, come back. 10 of the 12 said, This land is awesome. But there are some big, scary, strong people that live there, and we're not sure we can beat them in a fight. So we're going to say, no, we shouldn't enter the promised land. Two of the 12 came back and said, this land is awesome. And there are some big, scary people that live there, but God promised us this land. And we know that God is faithful. So if he is going to be with us and help fight with us, we can win no matter what. We should go into the land. So what would you do? Follow the 10 people or the 2 people? Well, Israel decided to follow the 10 and not enter the promised land. How do you think that made God feel? God only wanted to help his people, and they didn't even trust him. They didn't think that he was faithful. When I say faithful, what does that mean? That's the main idea of the story today, is that God is faithful. So what does faithful mean? It means that you can trust that person. And when they say they're going to do something, they're always going to do it. That when they make a promise, they always keep it. Being faithful is a good thing. And right here, they didn't think that God would be faithful. Come on, guys, God is always faithful. But the majority didn't believe it. And so God was sad, disheartened, disappointed. And he said, fine, if you don't think I'm faithful, if you don't trust me, you're not going to go into the promised land. Instead, you're going to walk around the wilderness for 40 years until a new generation comes up that is faithful and will believe me, will follow me, will trust me. So that's exactly what happened. They spent the next 40 years out in the wilderness just walking around. I mean, God still cared for them. He still gave them food like manna and quail and gave them water miraculously many times. So God provided for them, cared for them, and God was leading them, right? The pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, and he would tell them when to stop and where to go, but they weren't in the promised land. Now, 40 years later, what happens? Well, at this point, can you find your Bibles and open up to Joshua chapter 1? Let's see what happens first thing. I got to find my place too. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says, at this point, Moses has died. And that's where God chooses a new leader named Joshua. The book is called Joshua. The main guy is called Joshua. That's why we call it the book of Joshua. And well, what happens is Joshua is new to leadership. Think of this. He is now in charge of like a million people. They make it all the way to the promised land edge, right? They can see it. But what's between them and the promised land? The river that starts with J, the Jordan River. And at this time of year that they got there, the Jordan River is overflowing its banks. It is flood season. The water level's really high. The water is gushing and gushing, and it can be up to a mile wide. So if you're Joshua, the leader now, you come up to a raging river that is a mile across, what do you do? The people you are leading have just gone through the wilderness. They don't have a lot of trees out in the wilderness to build a bridge or the tools to build a boat, any way to cross a river like this. So what does Joshua do? He knows that God will be faithful and this is God's plan. So he just asks God, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, here's the plan. I want you to get the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant, you might have heard of it before. It's basically just like a box that's covered in gold and inside of the Ten Commandments, the stone tablets. And the priests are carrying this around. And it's supposed to symbolize God's presence there with the people. And so God tells Joshua, here's the plan. Tell the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to start walking out into the river. What? Are you sure that's safe? Is that okay? But Joshua knew that God had a plan. So he told the priests, guys, this is going to take faith on our part, but God is faithful. He's going to help us. So the priests They trust God, start walking into the river, and as soon as their feet touch the water stops flowing. There's like almost like an invisible wall that the water just can't go any further, and all the water flowing downstream just keeps flowing downstream, and now they can walk on dry ground. So that's one fun fact. If you think about 40 years earlier when they crossed the Red Sea, that's also a miracle where God split the waters. In that case, there was a wall of water on one side and a wall of water on the other side. In this case, there's just one wall of water, and all the rest of the river dried up. Now, they do cross into the promised land. Hey, that's exactly what God promised. God is faithful. And now God is saying, the first city I want you to conquer is Jericho. Also starts with a J. Now, Jericho, it's a big city. And it's fortified. And by fortified, I mean it had a big wall all the way around the city and all the way up. And it was a thick stone wall. What would you do if you're Joshua and God says, you're going to conquer that city? We don't have any battering rams. Like, we got nothing here. What do you want us to do, God? But Joshua knew that this was God's plan to conquer that city. And so he trusted God and just said, all right, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, here's the plan. If you open up to Joshua chapter 6. Now, in verse 1, it says, Jericho was a strongly fortified city. Verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, look, I'm giving you Jericho. All you have to do is march around the city with the men of war, circling the city one time for 6 days in a row, and have the priests carry trumpets and the Ark of the Covenant. So you have the army men, like the soldiers that are part of Israel. They're going to walk around the city once a day for 6 days, and the priests are there too, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, carrying some trumpets, but no sound is to be made. On the seventh day, they're supposed to walk around 7 times around the city, no sound to be made, until, here God says, then at the end of the seventh round, on the seventh day, then the priests will blow the trumpets, and at that time, the people will give a mighty shout, and the walls will come tumbling down. Really, God, that's your plan? You want us to walk around without making a noise? And then on the seventh day, the seventh time around, just yell and that's going to win this huge city? Well, that's exactly what happened. They trusted God. They knew that God was faithful, keeps his promises. And this is exactly what God wanted. This is his plan. So they followed the plan and it worked. They walked around the city, and on the seventh day, the seventh time around, they all yelled, the priests were blowing the trumpets, and the walls just crumbled. And they were able to walk into the city and conquer it without even a battle. So there's a song that I remember hearing. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. But the problem with that song is that there wasn't a battle. And Joshua didn't win it. God did. The walls just crumbled and the people of the city gave up, right? We surrender. Isn't that cool how God is faithful? And even if you don't understand exactly how it's all going to work out, you trust him that this is his plan. And it's a good one. And it's okay to be like Joshua, asking God, okay, I know you have a plan here, but can you just fill me in? Like, what am I supposed to do? Now, there's a lot of times, I'm sure even in your life, that there are troubles, events, situations, things that happen that might scare you, give you anxious, or you're confused, you don't know what's happening. And maybe right now, we should take some time to think about what in your life is hindering you, is stopping you from believing God even more, from following God and obeying God and trusting God even more. What are those things in your life that are causing you to maybe not follow God as closely? And if you think about those things, ask God to teach you and speak to you about those things. So right now we're going to play a respond song, King of My Heart. It's a beautiful song, but during this time, Please pray, talk with God, spend time with Him, and hear from Him. I want to bless you before we leave today. It's a special time for us to pray over you, but I want you to know that this blessing shouldn't stop with you. It's supposed to fill you and overflow to others that might need a blessing as well. So throughout your week, maybe you can be a blessing to others. The verse I want to read was actually a memory verse a handful of weeks ago, Deuteronomy 7:9. So as I read it, hopefully this sparks some, oh, I remember bits and pieces of that verse. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations, to those who love him and keep his commands." Now, if you, right where you're at, put out your hands to receive this blessing, I'm going to pray this over you. May you know God loves you very much, and may you see his faithfulness in your life. God, thank you for the story of Joshua And even though he didn't have all the answers, he trusted you, followed you closely, and led the Hebrew people into the promised land, conquering cities, which was part of your plan all along. Please let us have faith like that. Let us trust and obey you every day. Let us seek you and desire to hear from you. We know that you are faithful. Please show up in our lives in the areas that we need you most. Keep us healthy and safe this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a great week.